And we are thrilled to have joining us live this morning, Ron McLean, a man who truly needs no introduction, but let's give him one anyway. He's been a Saturday night tradition for 25 years, and of course you know him for his quick wit, his biting of his tongue, his arched eyebrow, and sitting there next to Don Cherry for years and years and years on Coach's Corner, and he's got a lot of different facets. There's a lot to Ron McLean you maybe don't know, and maybe by the end of this you will, or certainly after having read his book, Cornered, Hijinks, Highlights, Late Nights, and Insights, Ron McLean.
Morning, Ron.
What a nice intro. Hi, Mike. Hi, Aaron. How are you guys?
We're great.
We are rocking. We have so many questions to ask. You know, we just talked to Michael Bublé just the other day, and, you know, he is very exciting. He's a big, you know, star and everything else. I was more excited to talk to you today for some reason, and I don't know why, because you've been around a long time.
An interesting thing about Michael Bublé, as you know, he's a great hockey fan, big Canucks fan.
Yes.
And he wanted to buy, if you can believe it, he wanted to buy the theme to Hockey Night in Canada. It's now the property of TSN. But he made the inquiry about, I don't know, 6 years ago, because that's when Michael Jackson owned a lot of the Beatles material. And so that's what he thought it would be great to have. He'd just leave it on CBC, but just to say that he owned it would be a kick.
Ah!
And he found out the asking price was $3 million. And
No thanks.
Really? Wow.
Jeez. And knowing now, having read the book, that you have reffed, you are a level 5 referee. So you're not just a talking head. You just don't sit there and talk about the game. You have spent your time on ice. Is that your sort of road or rink not taken? If you weren't doing what you do now, Ron, would you be a referee, do you think?
100%, Aaron. When I was thinking about the jobs that I've done in my life, I was a detailer in a car wash. I really enjoyed working in a pro shop at a golf course and as a greenskeeper.
I heard you were a great disc jockey. Somebody told me that.
Well, I wasn't. You know, I was at a phase in my life where I was trying to be everything to everybody, right, and trying to emulate the guys. And I grew up in Red Deer, Alberta, so Chet Edmonton was the rock station that I listened to, and I wanted to be Wes Montgomery and Bob McCord and all these guys. So I really was kind of just cutting my teeth and not really too good at anything. And I was a kid, right? I started when I was 16, so my voice was, you can imagine. But refereeing for me, I always say I'd love to have been a teacher. Refereeing, I certainly equate broadcasting with teaching. But refereeing was I talk a little bit in the book about in my youth being really anxious, a lot of anxiety attacks and everything else. The only place I never experienced that, never had even a hint of stage fright, was on the ice refereeing big games. And I always found that was interesting.
And yet, you are a referee when it comes to Don Cherry every time you two sit down together. So see how it's all dovetailed together, huh?
Well, and in all cases, both in the broadcasting and in the refereeing, your object is to let your guests be the star, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no question that if you're on that day, you'll find a way to allow whoever it is you're interviewing to shine. And for the game, it's the same thing. If you're refereeing a game, you don't want to squeeze it too tight and kill it. You've got to definitely allow that sort of narrative tension in the game.
I bet you've wanted to squeeze it real tight and kill it sometimes, though.
Don, yeah.
If his callers don't do it.
Well, I mean, I got to ask you that.
I can't get in. I can't break through them.
That dynamic everybody loves. And apparently the ratings are higher for Coach's Corner than they are for the game itself in some areas.
Now, don't be bashful.
Well, that's, you know, and I'd love to take credit for that, but I can't seem to get the rest of the show to be. Don is a phenom. And before I got to Hockey Night in Canada, I can remember being a kid in Red Deer and intrigued by the guy, both as a coach and then on with Dave Hodge. He's just a great personality. He's got so much depth to him. He's well-read, extremely well-read. People don't know that.
Huh.
And he's just, I always say I'm quick, but I'm not quick like Don. My quicks are I'm always afraid of who I'll offend or what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I take a second to sort of weigh the consequences, and Don is in a very black and white world that allows him to be quicker than a cat, and it's kind of impressive to watch.
And because he's older, I think he can get away with a lot more than perhaps you can.
Well, I'm getting into his bracket, unfortunately.
Nah.
You're right. I do think that, and there's a lot to be said for listening to your elders, right? And even if they do kind of rage against the moon sometimes, it's worth listening to that because we're all going there.
We're talking with Ron McLean, of course, from Hockey Night in Canada and author of a brand new book called Cornered here on CHFI. Thanks for joining us. Now, Ron, the time where you were almost on the beach, where your contract, can you re-up for us how you almost ended up off Hockey Night in Canada? And what year was that?
That was in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, Aaron, like I kind of have distanced myself from ever really reading a lot of the detail, but the basic gist of it was there was a time during the Stanley Cup final when CBC had forced us to run a feature about how unfair it was that RDS, the French version of TSN, had the rights to the Montreal Canadiens. They'd bought the rights. And CBC felt it was our inherent right to hold on to that property. And we ran a feature during the Cup final, and it just, for some reason, struck a nerve with me that mm-hmm. we were, you know, losing our focus. And I was in a bit of a mood, and so I decided to up the ante and get Don Meehan a player agent. And before you know it, Don had a crazy figure that he wanted me to earn, and it just, it all blew up. And I got such a break because the day the CBC, and it was their prerogative to just say, forget it, we're not mm-hmm. paying them that. The day they made that decision was the day that the throne speech was taking place in Ottawa, so the media was on high alert. And we didn't have Twitter, but we certainly had enough media, emails had begun, that when the throne speech was predictable and a bit boring, and there was this little ticker going across a crawl on the bottom of the TV saying CBC and Ron McLean part ways, the media thought, well, that's interesting. What's the story? And that's, of course, what got me, that saved me.
But was that a turning point in your life and career, too, when all of a sudden you did find out how valued Ron McLean was to Canadians?
No, not at all, Aaron. I've always said you don't work for, you do work for a viewer, right? Like, we don't work for our employers in a way. We work for our listener or our viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I always understood that. My most basic training at CKRD and Red Deer was my greatest training of all, that it's one-to-one communication. It's not you and a million listeners or, you know, you try to identify with somebody that has your sensibilities or you're going to be insincere. So all of that was in me and would stay in me wherever I ended up. And there was nothing, I mean, I we all want to be loved, but I sure didn't need, I just needed a little bit of that. I think public feedback told the CBC at the time, at least, told that group in charge of the CBC that, listen, you know, Ron and Don have something going, that you let them have a voice in what goes on the show as well.
Oh,
that's probably the only thing that came out of it that was important to me at the time. But even that, like I say, I was in a bit of a mood. It was
difficult
for the Stanley Cup.
The chemistry, the dynamics of you two are just amazing. It looks like you are dear friends. But have you ever kicked him under the table just a couple of times or thought of it?
You know, the only time he's ever hurt me is never on the air. I like the old saying, you play with the bull, you get the horn. But,
yeah.
But off TV sometimes when poor Don, you know, he's like bigger than Santa out in public. And sometimes we'll be in a hotel lobby and he'll be into it with some fan who's saying, you know, you hate the Leafs or you love the Leafs or whatever they're mad at. And he gets into it and then he'll turn to me and say, come on, let's go. And he'll be a little dismissive as if I was a valet. That's the only time my normally thick skin suddenly sheds.
Ron, we're just about out of time.
Yeah,
we got a million and six questions here.
Boy.
You know what it's like to be wrapped up before you're done. But just a couple of quick fire questions for you here. Was there a point after Wade Belak's death, August 31st, that they thought that maybe the Battle of the Blades season wouldn't go?
Absolutely. You know, I can't say enough about Kim Navarro, his partner, how she managed to soldier on. The whole cast was rocked. I just think that we really weren't. I think most of us thought that the show would go on, but I think we were very concerned with having had such a good season two that it was going to be a tough act to follow in any regard. And we'd lost some veteran skaters in Shailen Bourne and Jamie Soleil. So, you know, finding that rudder with all that emotion around was really had us worried. But I think we all knew the show would go on. It's just, could Kim possibly gather herself? Who would we find on short notice to replace? And concerns like that certainly cropped up.
You do a masterful job. And one last one. What is your nightmare? What do you, when you have the recurring nightmare that we all have in broadcasting, what's yours?
Well, I haven't had my broadcasting one is always I'm late. I'm always in traffic and I'm miles from the venue, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, when I was a kid, it was for some reason I was in the water and a big ship was coming on top of me. But I haven't had that one, thank God, for about, I guess maybe working with, I'm Gilligan to Don Skipper. Yeah.
And you did save somebody last year.
You
helped save someone in a river. So, wow, that's pretty prophetic.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You're a good Canadian kid there, Ron.
So are you, Mike.
Aaron.
Thanks.
And give my love. I don't even know Tish Eisen, but I listen on Sundays on my way to Blades to the oldies show on Sundays, and I think she's phenomenal. So
she is. She's a doll.
Okay, you just officially made her day.
Yeah. She'll do a backflip.
And wise guys.
Oh, yeah, say hi to the wise guys. Gord and Ian here are huge fans of you, too.
my love as well to them. Yeah.
All right. You are a great guy, and everybody can spread the love with you tonight. Book signing at Indigo in the Eaton Center, 7 o'clock, Ron McLean. The book is Cornered, and we are honored. Thank you, Ron, very much. Wish I had a pithy pun to end with, but you're the king of that. So bye for now.
Cheers, Aaron.
Okay.
Bye, Ron.
Bye.